Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, and outdo one another in showing honor.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning. If you're not able to hear me do like this, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, everyone can hear me. It is such a wonderful day that the Lord has given us that we may worship our God not only in truth but in spirit. It is so wonderful to see you all come to worship today. And my prayer is that God is going to use each one of us to listen to what God is speaking to our souls. And at the end of the service, we can go home saying, thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. So I hope that you'll take Sanita away from this message and just invite the Holy Spirit through this process. But before I start preaching, I would like us to watch some things more about life is a journey. As you watched that clip and you were able to read some of the words that you saw there, I'm sure maybe a number of things came into your mind as you were thinking about life. And maybe I want to take you back to the beginning of 2017 and start thinking of some of the great things or some of the bad things that have happened. I don't like talking about bad things. I like talking about good things. But life has good and bad things. So I was trying to go back to 2007, looking around the world. What are the major events that have taken place the last 12 months? I'm sure if I ask you that question, probably you'll tell me some of the events, major events worldwide that have shaped, have changed the world in some ways. The United States was blessed with a new president. President moving from real business to politics. And that was a world event. President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, after being in power for over that 6 years, decides to give up Zimbabwe, chooses a new president. Britain decides to divorce the European Union. I don't know whether the divorce ended, but they decided to divorce the European Union. If you have been listening to the news, you heard about refugees, more than 500,000 refugees from Rohingya and Myanmar, fleeing their country because of oppression and suppression to their neighboring country, Bangladesh. The fall of Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, when ISIS claimed their control of more so. United States, Britain, and other countries ganged together and they claimed Mosul. Still, we continue to hear the threats from North Korea as part of 2017 major events. And several terror attacks, not only in the United States, but in other countries. I don't know whether I've shared anything great that happened in 2017, but I hope you picked some. Let us move closer to the United States and maybe closer to Fisher's area. What happened in 2017 where we are? IKEA. Praise be to God, IKEA. Who knew that we would have IKEA next to Fisher's United Methodist Church? I don't know the last few months that IKEA has been here, whether it has been a curse or a blessing, but I hope it has been mixed feelings. And I hope that the church will garner potential opportunities so that we can continue to have an impact in this community. What else? Portillo's. If you don't know where Portillo's is, I can give you the map, the direction to that place. What about the Top Golf? Last night, no, the day before yesterday, I was driving the crazy road and I saw Top Golf was full and I said, oh my goodness, I wish the church would be full like this when the weather is bad. Maybe it's my own craziness, but that's the prayer and the wish that I had when I saw how many people were flooding in these places. And there are many other things that have happened, but today, we want to talk about transformation. You hear transformation all the time, but I want to use this, the butterfly life cycle. And in our lives, maybe sometimes some of us are in the larva stage, or we are in the caterpillar stage, or in the cocoon stage, or we are in the butterfly stage. So as we talk about the Word of God today, my hope is that we'll find ourselves longing to become butterflies at some point. The scripture tells us, especially from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The concept of sacrifice, the concept of having a life that is God-ordained, having a life that is breathed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and inviting our lives to be used by God as a gift and as a sacrifice, and being careful about the worldly things that happen that might take away the picture and the image of Jesus Christ. All the things that I've shared can sometimes shape who we are and how we think and how we act. All the changes that happen around us may impact the way we interpret who God is in our lives. But the scripture Paul writes to the Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 and he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ is the one who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul is challenging the Galatians and is reminding them that the life that Paul lives is not his life, it's the life that he has committed to God. Brothers and sisters, as believers, that's the kind of commitment that we make. We don't make commitment of going to church just to go to church because we don't have good beds where we can sleep, especially when it is too cold. We come because God has convicted us in some ways in our lives that this is something good to do. And Paul reminds the Galatians that he is no longer the one who lives, but Christ Jesus in him is the one who has called him to sacrifice his life and become a blessing to other people. So the scripture in verse 2 tells us, do not conform to this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 aligns with this conforming, and it says the natural person The natural person does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to this person, and this person cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are not humanly discerned. They are discerned by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever realized that many people don't understand Christianity? They look at Christians and they think Christians are crazy. And especially at Christmas time, those who don't know why we sing some songs and dress up in certain ways and speak certain languages and give some gifts, some people question, why do you have to do all this? Listening to someone who told me they were in a family gathering, and in this family some people came who are not believers, who are not Christians. And these people, they wanted to see certain kind of gifts. I didn't know that when you get a gift, you have to throw feet. A gift is free. But people throw feet. Does that make sense when I say throwing feet? They throw feet even when they have been given something free. And they were asking, why do people give gifts? Of course, there are some who are connecting that to Santa. I have 4 children in my house. We have been having a debate. Where do gifts come from? I say, I work hard day and night so I can buy you gifts, and you are telling me about this thing called Santa. What's wrong with you? And I realize maybe this is how our children get confused, because they don't know the good gifts that God blesses the parents or the grandparents or the uncles so that they can buy them gifts of love to them, and then Santa takes over. And then the kids don't realize this has come from my loved ones. Maybe it's only my children. Maybe it's only my children. But these gifts, as they come, the natural person, someone who is not filled by the Holy Spirit, is likely to miss the opportunity of knowing why we do things the way we do them, why we pray, why we read scripture, why we go to church and meet with other brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, the scripture uses the word age, but some of the Bible scriptures, they say, do not conform to this world. But the Greek word that is there is age. Do not conform to this age. There's something special about this age. And those who have lived longer, they can tell us that there are things that have changed for the good, and there are things that have changed for the worse. And those who have lived shorter, for a short period of time, young people, probably they are also frustrated with this generation, or they are frustrated with the older generation. But we are being warned here by Paul when he talks to the Corinthians, never conform, never change and follow the things of this world, because God has called us to be transformed, to be changed. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says, then once we are transformed, we will no longer be infants, tossed about by waves and carried around by every wind of teaching and by the clever cunning of men in their deceptive scheming. Once our lives have been transformed, friends, and transformation here is the word they use is metamorphoste or metamorpho, where metamorphosis comes from. And metamorphosis is a deep, deep transformation. It's a change that takes deep, deep change. It's not just changing like changing clothes. Like some people say, today I'm a Christian, tomorrow I'm not a Christian. It's like changing a jacket. I'm a Christian on Sunday for 1 hour. I'm an atheist on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday I'm an agnostic. I'm something. Christianity, the transformation we are talking about is being changed in the spirit, in the mind, in the physical, in the social. Every dimension of our humanity is changed, is transformed for God's own glory. You surrender your life and God uses your life as a vessel. God uses you. You are so special that God has chosen to use you, not another person out there. It is you as simple as you are. But sometimes we beat ourselves and we feel like we are not qualified, we are not worth it. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed that we want to give up. We face challenges in our lives, challenges of sickness. I know the last 2017, some of us, our lives have been transformed. Some of us have lost our loved ones. And maybe when you gathered during Christmas, there was an empty chair or two empty chairs in the room of people that we loved so much that we could not be able to be with them. And some of us, we added two chairs in the room, or one chair with grandkids, great grandkids coming, so we added other chairs there. Or some of us who are battling sickness and illness, or we have our relatives who are still fighting illness, or some of us lost our jobs and we felt like life meaning is becoming questionable. But we are told to be transformed, to be changed inside, and never allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. Romans chapter 12, verse 16 talks about after being transformed, then we are humbled ourselves. We humble humility. And humility is a concept that sometimes people don't take it seriously. How do we humble ourselves? Do not be highly minded. I like it when he says, but be sophronein, just be sober-minded, rather than hyper-profane, highly-minded. And people who are highly-minded are people who choose to kind of take space where God needs to be glorified, we want to be glorified. There's a temptation there. We live in a very tempting world out there. And if we choose to follow the world, we are going to seek the worldly standards of appreciating us. But it says, humble yourself, live in harmony with one another, but do not try to be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Brothers and sisters, I'm throwing this message to you. But it's a message that I wanted to speak to me first before I share it with you. And if I preach and that message has not preached to me first, I will be really speaking things that are not right. So I sat down, I was listening to this message, I recorded in this technology, and then I was listening. And I kept asking myself, oh God, what can I do? How can I be more transformed, to be faithful to you and to be committed to you more. 2008 is coming and people are making several resolutions. And it's good to make resolutions, friends. But how often do we include God in those resolutions? How wonderful will it be 2018 if we said, God, you be number one in my resolution. I'll be going to the gym 10 times. I hear there are people who go to the gym 10 times the first month, the second month, they go 2 times, the third month, they have to sleep. But I know there's something that you can make a resolution and it's not going to change, friends. If you say, God, I've not been faithful in my giving to the church, I'm going to be faithful to be more faithful giving to the church, and this is my resolution, I'm going to give more to the church, or I'm going to give more time to the church, or I'm going to volunteer more in the church, or I'm going to visit my grandkids more because I've forgotten them. I hope that as we make resolutions, we will ask God to lead us in those resolutions. As I continue, I almost look at how the scripture says we are one body as believers, brothers and sisters, we have become one body. For as the many is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So once we become believers, this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, as as we become believers, we are not separate people. We are not separate believers. We have become one with Christ Jesus. This is why I thank God for Jesus Christ, because probably if this was not there, I would not belong to Fisher's United Methodist Church. People will say, who wants people to speak with accents here? Do I speak with an accent? Okay. And when I tell people in America that every time you speak with an accent, I struggle to understand you, so speak careful. They say, what are you talking about? So as I speak, I say, it's Christ Jesus that has made us one family. That no matter whether I was born in the western part of Kenya, far, far, more than 7,000 miles away, I can be in Fishers and meet with brothers and sisters in Christ and be one family that is one body connected to Jesus Christ. We have become children of God. 1 Corinthians, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We have become members in particular. With all these differences, we have been also given different gifts. We come to the church not with only one gift. Gary's there playing music. She's leading the service. Someone is sitting and listening. And some of us have prophets. Some of us have gifts of teaching. Some of us have gifts of financing. Some have gifts. We have all different gifts. And God brings all these gifts that the scripture says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It shows that we have been given different gifts. And all these gifts, the way they have been given, they are gifts that help us to fulfill God's great commission. 2018, brothers and sisters, what are you planning to do? Is God calling you to a service? And I'm looking at verse 7 where it says, we have been called, some of us, to service, to become deaconesses, or become diaconen. And people are able to be teachers. Disacharia's job is to teach. We will be teaching didascalia. People teach, and teaching doesn't mean to be in class. In fact, teaching is every moment you get to meet with your brother and sister. Is there something that you open your mouth and bless and teach someone else? In 2018, can we bless others by being there to teach them? Friends, I'm almost done. I hope that you will not write to Pastor Kevin and Jared and say, this is done. Don't bring this fellow here again. Because I preach maybe for too long. Or maybe I preach too fast. But I hope that as we continue, and there are two verses here that we'll be looking at, especially verse 8 and verse 9, which talks about, let us be there to encourage one another, and let us give our lives as a gifts, offering of mercy. Giving our lives, being hospitable. People open doors to bless others. And I know there's a reason why God has kept Ephesus United Methodist Church at this corner, so that this church can be a blessing in this community. This church is going to be the one that brings transformation in this neighborhood. But we have a lot of work to do, friends. It's not going to be sitting in the pews and waiting for God to come and bless us. God is telling us, stand up and go. I'm ready to equip you. You have something to do out there. Sometimes we feel, do I have a way of preaching? I don't even remember all the scriptures that this pastor is preaching about. How am I going to be changing? No, God wants you. Just avail yourself, offer yourself a living sacrifice to this community. You are going to change people's lives. Families that are struggling, that are looking for mentors, what it means to raise children. Children who don't have fathers around their lives and they live in our neighborhood. Our parents. Or young couples who are taking care of their aging parents, and their aging parents are struggling with the health issues. They might need someone to be there. can we avail ourselves. But we cannot do that if we don't allow God's love to be with us. It's God's grace and God's love that has been promised. Even if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if we can seek God's love and God is willing to give. I don't know what you are dealing with, my brother, my sister. I don't know how you are thinking of 2018. I don't want you to be frustrated of what you experienced in 2017. I want us to be hopeful. I want us to be positive in our thinking and in our looking forward and saying there's something great that God wants to do in this neighborhood, and God is going to use Fishers United Methodist Church, you and me, to bring some transformation to this community. Temptations are, many people are likely to be tempted to conform to this world rather than be transformed from this world. My questions for each one of you as we are done. Do you find yourself inclined to conform to this world? Or do you find yourself inclined to seek transformation so that we can change many lives out there? May God help us. May God lead us. May God protect us, that as we set our resolutions for 2018, we will go out and say, God, use me as a vessel, and I'm going to be part of the team to bring transformation. May God bless you. May God guide you. May God keep you strong. Amen.